Welcome to the Amateur MILF Society, a podcast about the highs and lows of mothering in the modern age. We're your hosts, Rosie and Sinead, and we are
Just trying.
Join us on a journey from positive pregnancy tests through to school and beyond as we try to untangle all those complicated thoughts and feelings that come when you decide to push a baby out of your vagina. Other birthing methods are available. We are average non-famous mums who live average non-famous lives, although if we get famous, we will win the football, aim better at Donald Trump, and put Biden into a nursing home. It's been a very busy weekend for the world.
Yeah, news outlets everywhere have been pulling their hair out.
Yeah, what do you run with? Do you run with the fact that the English men's football team are still rubbish?
Yeah, it didn't come home, guys. You heard it here first.
Surprise, surprise!
Surprise,
Yes, they lost the football. I mean, you know, good, fair play, well done. They did well to get to the final. That's great and everything.
Yeah. You know one thing that I actually do really love about the football?
Is it Jordan Pickford's, like, anger at his job?
No, it's that whenever England scores a goal, I hear it from my bedroom where I'm actively not watching the football.
Like, all around you.
Yeah,
we didn't need to watch any of the Euros because our next-door neighbours have three boys, so we could hear everything. Last, the semi-finals, when there were penalties, because it went on for so long, me and Dave were literally falling asleep, and then England scored a goal, and I was like, whoa, what the fuck? Genuinely thought there was, like, robbers or something, and it was like, oh, no, I forgot the football's on, and I can hear all the points. So we knew when the final was on. I heard the next door neighbour being like, oh, Spain have scored again. So it's, yeah, I mean, it is sad, but also, I don't watch football.
I do really think that as a culture, we should do more, like, communal viewings of things in pubs. Like, I saw on Twitter today a thread about what would be really good pub viewing.
Mm.
Like, grand designs.
Why?
Whoever guesses the amount of hundreds of thousands of pounds over budget they're going to go gets a free pint.
Yeah, I love that.
Things that are, like, really inconsequential, but people can get really invested in.
I can get invested in grand designs. Escape to the country.
Escape to the country. What's that? The repair shop. I think would be a good one.
I probably shouldn't say why I like the repair shop. But I do really like the repair shop. I do like the repair shop. What else? I was just thinking of one then. Do you think...
I think Bake Off, in, like, peak Bake Off, you know, the season where the baked Alaska got thrown in the bin?
Yeah.
That would have made...
Big time.
Excellent pub viewing.
Yeah. I think Great Pottery Throwdown, to be honest with you. Love a bit of that. I would really like to see, like, stereotypical English football fans being really invested in Drag Race.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Yeah. I'd really, really like to see that. Okay, what was the other thing I said?
Donald Trump. Orchestrating his own fake assassination?
It just clipped his ear, didn't it? Just clipped his ear.
Honestly, whoever paid... If someone paid a hitman to do that job, I'd be asking for my money back.
Do you think
hitmen come with a money back guarantee?
Yeah, do they have a contract? Is it like a kind of... And also, do they pay in one go? Is it like a deposit thing? Is it like Klarna?
Will you do
a paying thought for installments?
Will you do a hit for me on tick?
Yeah. Can you imagine? Can I have a hitman on finance, please? What's the insurance policy? I don't like to say I'm a conspiracy. I don't think I'm a conspiracy theorist. But I mean, in this case, it definitely wasn't real, was it? Like, I mean, it happened, but, like, it was set up, right?
Oh, obviously.
It had to have been
set up. Donald Trump wanted that photo of, like, one single bead of blood dripping down his neck.
Yeah.
With the fist in the air.
Punching the air. It's too staged, isn't it?
But you know what? That would have been a very, very effective imagery if Donald Trump was hot.
Oh, can you imagine?
Like, that would have been like, oh my god, sexy, like, fucking...
As he's on the floor, they're undoing his top button.
They're ripping his shirt open to perform CPR for a grazed ear.
Yeah, I mean, if they'd done that with John Miliband, different story.
You mean David Miliband?
David Miliband!
Who are your Milibands?
I don't know.
Where are your Milibands?
I'm so I'm so poorly. I mean, I'm just not with it. Who is John Miliband?
I don't know.
Do you know why I said, I know exactly why I said John Miliband? Because Dave, there was, in the lead up to the bacon sandwich situation, right, which we spoke about, your team,
Ed
Miliband, I'm team David Miliband. In that lead up to those brothers going for whatever it was they were going for, there were a lot
of... Leader of the opposition.
That one, yeah, that one. There were a lot of references to David Miliband looking very much like John Mayer, the the guitarist, blues singer slash Katy Perry's ex.
And also Taylor Swift's ex.
And Taylor Swift's ex and many other women in America. So I think the reason I called him John Miliband is because I'm still using that frame of reference of David Miliband looking like John Mayer.
Also, another piece of news that we've not yet reported on.
Yeah.
Only went and won the Jenny Lek, didn't we?
We won the Jenny Lek.
Not that we wanted it. To vote for Labour, but Ed Miliband, my man, is no longer the...
My man.
He's no longer the shadow energy secretary.
He's
the real energy secretary.
Energy secretary. How many... If I saw him, I'd be like, hey, energy secretary, how long does it take to burn off the calories eating a bacon sandwich? Or something like that. Can you tell that I'm not with it because I'm not making any sense?
And it's first time you've recorded a podcast.
No, it's not, because we spoke to Tom. Yeah, that, remember? Because we were singing Things Can Only Get Better. We have mentioned
things
it.
Things can only get better.
Yeah, I think they can only get better, can't they?
Yeah, that is true.
Although, based on the whole Trump thing we've just discussed, they could get worse. They could get much worse.
And I love that for us.
And the last one was put Biden in a nursing home.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot believe that he called Kamala Harris Vice President Trump.
I can't believe he called the President of Ukraine Putin to his face.
But it did make excellent memes, though, because I saw a picture of Kamala Harris shaking hands with President Zelensky, and it was like, Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin shake hands.
Amazing. Amazing. It's so bad, isn't it?
It is so bad. Like, that man is not fit to be to be president.
No. I saw a tweet that said,
anyone born before, like, the concept of America as as a state,
as
an actual country, should not be the president.
Anyone who was friends with Abraham Lincoln is not fit for presidency.
Anyone
right
who came over on the Mayflower.
Anyone who's got a family member that was burnt as a witch, they're just not fit for purpose, are they?
No.
Oh, we shouldn't make jokes, Sinead, because what's the alternative? Donald Trump.
Oh, God.
Terrifying.
You know what? The Tories were bad, but I think America is, like, deeply more fucked than we are.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, really is. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm jaded saying that, or like I'm not looking into it enough, but I do think that America's fucked.
Yeah, frankly. I would be.
Frankly, I think
I'd be fine to agree with you. Do you have a week in a sentence for me?
Yeah, my week in a sentence is this. Statistics suggest that you are less likely to receive any sugar-based snack from me if you scream in my face, hit me, or slam a door. I am so sick.
But the chances are still not zero.
They're never zero. I am so sick of, like, Ramona especially, and then Lola kind of, she does lots of screaming and slamming and biting and stuff, but she's three, so you kind of, like, it's more laughable when she does it.
It's more understandable.
Yeah, but with Ramona it's like, what do you think you're going to get from me by doing these things? It's like her tantrums get progressively worse and worse, and I'm just going, this isn't helping.
Why?
This is not helping. And now you've got so far that I've dug my feet in. There's no way you're getting the chocolate bar now. What's wrong with you? Oh, you're screaming louder now. Cool. That's not going to help.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it. So yeah, that's my week.
Don't really understand how kids work.
I know it's like a, you know, they can't regulate their emotions and stuff. But surely my six-year-old has enough common sense to know that she's definitely not going to get the thing if she, like, you know, acts like a dick.
Yeah.
But
you would think, wouldn't you?
Apparently she still thinks that.
My week in a sentence is that I strongly believe that if you went to Abba Voyage High, it would just shatter the fabric of your reality.
So this is an opportunity for you to tell me about Abba Voyage, because I did not go to Abba Voyage because I'm not particularly a big Abba fan. But actually you've not told me about it at all, because the only thing you've told me about it is that you had to carry a family member across London because she was so drunk.
Yeah.
So that's the only bit of it I know. Were you high when you went to see Abba Voyage?
I wasn't high.
But you were very drunk.
But I wasn't that drunk when I was in there, but I felt like I was high because it's fucking bonkers.
Because it's such a sensory experience.
Yeah. And you know what, Rosie? I know that you're not a big ABBA fan, but I think you actually would love it.
Okay.
It's like the whole vibe and like the whole kind of room that it's in, the like arena, it's repurposed from the 2012 Olympics. So I think it's where they did like gymnastics or something in the Olympics.
Right.
And the whole room is lighting design, is sound design, there's sound coming at you from like every angle.
Nice.
If you're standing in the crowd and you're looking up onto that stage,
yeah,
you would not know that the people on stage weren't people.
They were robots. No, not even robots.
Just holograms.
Wild.
But then there's like, you know, when you go to big concerts and then there's like screens on either side so you can see what's happening on the stage and whatever.
Yeah.
They have that, and in that you can kind of tell that they're not real, that they're like AI. But then there's a massive live band as well, and I was so like, my mind was so blown and my brain was so broken that I was like, are they real?
What's happening? What are my eyes telling me?
Are they real? They throw you back in time. You go to the Eurovision when ABBA were on Eurovision.
Do you know what it sounds like?
It's nuts.
It sounds like Pop Tron. It's like Tron, but with pop music.
It's insane.
It's an immersive experience.
Yeah, it is an immersive experience.
Well, listen, you've kind of sold me. However, being what your week in a sentence is, I'd like to tell you now that I'll come to Abba Voyage with you, but only if I'm high. Because now I want to experience it high so that it can, like, I can pretend that I'm, you know, on a spaceship with Brian Cox.
But I did find out that there's going to be an Elvis Presley version.
Oh, I don't know how I feel about that.
I feel great about it because I don't know, Rosie, if you actually know this about me, but my first crush, like my first proper crush...
Was Elvis Presley.
Young
Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I was like 8 years old, I had a massive framed poster...
Really?
...of Elvis Presley in, like, army uniform on my bedroom wall.
Oh, wow. I don't know how I feel about that. Do you know... I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, because my first crush was Aaron Carter. Which of his is worse? Because Elvis Presley is far more talented, far more attractive, far better in every single aspect. No offence, Aaron Carter. Got a crush on you and everything. But Elvis Presley was born in the 30s?
Maybe even before that.
So I don't know how I feel about it.
I was for like a good 2 years, I was obsessed.
You're so Irish.
With Elvis Presley.
You're so Irish. You're obsessed with the past. Obsessed with having pictures from the past on your walls. What is it with you people? No wonder you're quite happy looking at people in coffins. My God, get a crush of a normal person like Aaron Carter.
But like, that's so fucking weird. Like an 8-year-old girl, like, oh, like, who do you fancy?
So weird.
Elvis Presley.
Oh my God.
Me, I'm going to marry Elvis Presley when I grow up.
Oh. And I do love that about you. And I do think I would prefer to go and see Tron Elvis than I would Tron ABBA.
Yeah, because I think I would probably fall in love with Tron Young Elvis.
Oh yeah, I mean, he was gorgeous. I don't like dispute that at all. What I dispute is an 8-year-old in the late 90s. That's what I did. That's the bit I struggle with. But you know, we all have weird crushes. I definitely had a crush on some of the Disney characters.
Simba.
So which is worse? Yeah, Simba. Oh, yeah, big on Simba.
Beast.
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 So which is worse? You fancying, like, a legit human being that was, you know...
dead.
Most people.
Many years before my birth.
Or something that doesn't even exist. It does. It's not even sentient because it's hand-drawn. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think we're fine. I think you as an 8-year-old fancy Elvis is absolutely okay.
Absolutely.
We'll allow it.
Anyone that knows anyone that looks like Elvis Presley, hook a girl up.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah, but you, at what age?
Oh, like pre-30.
Do you have a problematic experience with the Elvis episode of Father Ted? Because it's one of my favourites.
It is a great episode of Father Ted.
I'm Elvis. That was a terrible impression of an Irishman. Anyway, moving swiftly on. What are we talking about today, Sinead?
We are going to be giving you our summer holiday survival guide.
It's going to be really short because I don't have much advice.
It's now the first full week of the summer holidays.
Yes. For us, not for most of the country though, hey? Most of the country don't break up till the end of this week, right?
Really?
Yeah. Leicester are totally different to everyone else.
Oh, yeah. Always have to be individual, don't we?
Of course they do.
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like I'm coming up at it from a uniquely privileged position.
Yeah, tell us your current setup, Sinead.
My current setup is that my daughter is in a different country to me.
And she will be there for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Without you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so jealous. Do you know what I was even jealous of when you were like in Knock Airport? Which you like, you know, is hilarious because like you say, it was like a service station. It's just like one room and a plane comes every 3 days or something, right? But even the act of you sitting in an airport alone and with a glass of wine and getting on a plane on your own to come back home alone made me envious. Whilst I was lying in bed like a Victorian, I don't know.
To be fair, on the Saturday I did have to beat a bed with hysteria.
Oh, did you have to sleep in the same bed as Darcy and you didn't get any sleep?
So on our flight out to Ireland was at 10 PM on Friday night.
Ooh,
it was delayed, so didn't leave till like 11 PM. So we didn't get to Ireland until midnight, and we didn't get like home and in jammers and in bed. Darcy was in bed at 1:30. I probably got into bed at 2:00, fell asleep at like 2:30. We were both up at 7:00. Darcy was dressed, hair done, everything, ready to go at 7:30.
That's really rough. And now I feel less envious about your journey home because you deserved that, didn't you?
Yeah.
You deserved that flight home by yourself.
Yeah. I got the Ryanair first class.
Did you?
Yeah, they're just the seats and the emergency exit. Got a bit more leg room.
Slightly more leg room for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But I was asleep before the plane took off. And then I woke up and there was someone sitting next to me that wasn't sitting next to me when I sat down. So he must have just, like, clambered over me.
Definitely on the same plane. Moved you to a different plane. Yeah, definitely back to the UK.
It was insane, but I was so tired that I could barely articulate a sentence. And Darcy was like, let's go to the park. And I was like, just looked at April and said, I think I need to go to bed.
And this is the joy of this, is that April said, okay.
She went, go to bed, I'll take her to the park. So I laid down on the bed, and one thing you need to know about April is she is the world's tidiest person.
Oh, is she?
In her house, all of the beds, perfectly made, lovely fluffy pillows. And she has like 2 pillows and then like dress cushions for the bed as well.
Beautiful.
All beds beautifully made.
God.
I laid down on the bed, and you know I've been trying to train myself to sleep on my back so I don't get wrinkles.
I did not know that. I'm sorry. I'll stop you there.
I'm sure it's my A-L-E.
Oh dear, don't say it out loud or she'll start asking for stuff. Shut up. We're not talking about a human being. We are talking about the robot in your room. Sorry, you're trying to lie on your back so you don't get wrinkles.
Yeah, because I sleep like with my face shoved into the pillow like this.
That's not going to give you wrinkles, is it?
Yes, it does.
Does it?
Yeah. So I thought I'd spoken to you about this when we went to Spain, but I must have
quite possibly
had that conversation in my own head. But anyway, if you lie on your back, you're not gravity, like pressing your face, sure, so like you're less likely to get
okay
like worse wrinkles. So, and I can never sleep on my back. I'm a side sleeper all the way, side to tummy kind of thing. I was so tired that I laid down on the bed like Nosferatu, and my head sunk directly down between the two stacks of pillows.
Oh, wow. So you had a wall of pillows either side of your face.
Yeah. And I just like...
You literally looked like you'd sunk into this... Oh, wow. Okay.
And then I woke up, and I woke up and it was like the perfect length of nap. You know, sometimes you have a nap and it's too short and you feel groggy, or it's too long and you feel groggy.
Yeah.
I think I had about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Woke up full of the joys of spring.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's probably the best nap I've ever had.
That's lovely. I've been having quite a lot of naps recently because there's something wrong with me. I don't know what's wrong with me. But none of them make me feel any better. And I always go downstairs completely furious, which is awful for Dave because he's like allowing me to go and have a nap. Not that I need his permission, but like, you know, I'm going to go fuck off upstairs and sleep. You look after the children. And then I come downstairs and I'm more furious. Doesn't seem fair. Anyway, right. Come on. Survival tips. Survival tips for the summer holidays for people with children.
Shall we have a quick whistle-stop tour of last summer holidays?
Okay, last summer holidays. My advice is to just don't allow yourself to be with your children every single day of the holidays. Because that's what happened to me. It was awful.
Yeah.
But then I suppose I'm saying this, but some people don't have a choice. We didn't have a choice last year. We're in a really privileged position this year to be able to afford for our children to go to a summer school twice a week. But we've had to pay for it. Like, we've had to sort of save up and use money for it to happen. But I'm just trying to think what we did last year that was good. I did go to Belgrave Hall every Monday because I ran like a kids club. The idea was that you could come to it, hang out in Belgrave Hall's gardens, come and get on with some work, hang out with other parents whilst the kids ran around. And that was a wonderful idea, and a few people came, but not enough people came, so it never became
to
a thing.
To make it, like, worth it.
And that was really nice being there, because I was there for 4 hours every single week with other people, and the kids just ran about. But it just, that became a bit of a bore, like, getting there, leaving, all that sort of thing. I can't give you any advice about last year. Have you got any advice from last year?
Well, last year, Darcy was in Ireland again for the first 10 days of the holidays. And then I was working and she was in like a summer holiday club thing around the corner. And at the time I was only working 9 till 3. So I was able to work around that. And again, like, I am in a really privileged position where I've got quite a lot of family that I can call on to have her if I need to. Because even, like, working 9 till 3 and then picking her up and, like, dealing with her for the rest of the day, it's only the same timings as school, but, like, in the summer holidays, it feels worse.
Yeah. I did it today. I took the girls were both at summer club till 3. I picked them up and I was just like, it didn't feel like that. I think as well, because they're not learning, and I don't think it's as full on when they go to like the summer club that Ramona went to anyway. Seemed quite quiet. There weren't many kids there. So she probably got to sort of relax quite a lot. So when she got home, she wasn't knackered.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, oh my God, I've just got home from school. I need to sit down, watch a bit of telly, have a bit of a, you know, have a bit of a relax and a snack while I can go off and make dinner.
Yeah.
But today didn't feel like that at all. It felt like she was like, okay, what now? What's next? What's next? Like, what's next is you sit down and be quiet. That's what's next, please. Please stop shouting at each other. Please. You've been home for 10 minutes and I've already had enough. It's been one day. So yeah.
I think it's just fucking hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And it's hard for them as well because it's a massive gear change. It's such a shift.
Yeah.
And that change in routine as well is really difficult, I think. Having to explain having to explain stuff to Ramona, she really struggles with that, I think, is like, school is good for her because it's 5 days a week she goes to school from 9 till 3 or 8:30 till 3, and then on the weekends she goes dancing, and then some weird things might happen, mm-hmm. but at least she knows that's exactly what's happening. And then some holidays is just completely different.
Routine is out the window. Yeah. And like, Darcy's like that as well. She really thrives in a routine.
Yeah.
What I think my top tip for summer holidays, and like I said, I don't really have that many tips, so this isn't going to be a very informative podcast because neither of us have much to give, but like, I think the best thing you can do to make your summer holiday easier is to facilitate as much independence as you can.
Yeah.
I did this over, when was the last holidays we had? Can't remember. Was it May?
I was off work.
So I had Darcy the whole week. And things like making a jug of squash in the morning and putting it in the fridge so that she could go and get herself a drink.
Yeah.
What I started doing was like making a box up of like all the snacks that she was allowed all day.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't constantly have them.
Oh my God.
Mummy, can I have a snack? Mummy, can I have a snack? I would make a box, and it was quite generous. There'd be loads of fruit in there, loads of like cut up cucumbers, tomatoes, whatever.
Yeah.
And like bits and bobs that she could pick at through the day. But once that, and I made it very clear to her, once that basket is gone, that's it.
That's your snacks.
I will make you your lunch,
yeah.
and you'll have your dinner in the evening.
Yeah.
They are your snacks. Eat them all in one go if you want, but do not come and ask me for more.
That's a really good shout. That's a very good piece of advice that I need, because Ramona is not independent at all. She lacks a lot of independence. And it's just like, she's just a sensitive kid, right? She's fearful of stuff. And one of those things is doing anything by herself. So they're the sorts of things that I could definitely do with her, and also things that Lola could do as well, because even though Lola's only three, if I did the snack box thing with both of them, they would both get that. Yeah, that's a really good shout. I think I try to do this with elements of them playing.
Yeah.
So it'll be things like, you know, you get a certain box of toys out, or you get like, we're gonna get the Lego out, and then the whole idea is that you build me something.
Mm-hmm.
I try and do that. Ramona won't play in her room on her own. So what I've been trying to do, and this is something I'll do throughout the summer holidays, will be, right, Mummy needs to do some work in the office. So I'll think of something that I need to do for work, because usually I do most of my work in the lounge, on the floor. But I'll be like, I've got to do some work in the office, so you girls are going to have to come upstairs. Thereby giving them an excuse to play in their room.
Yeah.
Different environment. Get them used to it. Different toys. And it's not
like, you're downstairs, they're upstairs.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So it's like, you're going to go and play in your room because I've got to do stuff in this room. I did that though when I got home from summer club today. And at one point, I made them a den. So I'd already gone out of my way, Sinead. And then I was like, I was sat painting and Ramona was like, Mum, Mummy, Mum. Like this. I was like, oh, what the fuck is it now? And I went in and like a very small part of her dressing table had come off onto the floor. And she didn't know what to do. And I was like, well, put it back. And she's like, I don't know how. And I was like, figure it out.
Yeah.
You are six.
Yeah.
That piece of equipment is very easily assembled. And I was like, the other thing is, you've got a handful of toys in the other hand. Try, instead of shouting for me like a banshee, put your toys down, use both of your hands,
and
use
your brain.
You are a smart girl. You can put it back together again. And next time, please try that before shouting at me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, Darcy, I'm lucky in a way that by nature Darcy is quite independent.
Like, yeah, she definitely is. She likes to go and do stuff for herself, doesn't she?
She likes to do things for herself.
Yeah.
So it's easier to foster that independence.
Yeah.
But one thing that I am trying to work on with her is a bit of like problem solving.
Instead of
her being like, Mom, I need you to help me do this. I'm like, well, figure it out.
I tell you what, I promise you, that's a first child thing. Because Lola will figure something out before she calls me.
Mm.
Because she's had to. Because she's never pandered to, ever. She's always like, she's always going to not be listened to as much. Bless her. It's not that you know how it is, right? It's not that I love her any less, but it's like.
But also, I think Lola has a very different nature to Ramona.
Yeah, she's totally. Yeah,
she I would say she's naturally more independent and more like problem solving inclined.
Yeah, than Ramona. And actually, that's not giving Ramona enough credit either, is it? It's like it's not that Ramona doesn't have the capability of problem solving. She just wants to be around adults.
Mm.
She doesn't like being on her own. She wants to be near me all the time. And so it's easier for her to go, do you know what? I'm not going to problem solve because I'd rather have mummy. And so there is definitely an element of that. Whereas Lola is just like, I'm just going to put her off over here and work it out. And you'll be like, an hour later, you'll be like, what are you doing? Oh, wow. I got this bag of toys from a car boot sale. It's like a bag of...
Oh, wow. You've built a castle.
Oh, my God. Bought like a massive bag full of little tiny animals. They're like little furry animals. And I gave her the bag and immediately she emptied the bag out and spent 20 minutes putting all the animals together. So all the crocodiles were together, all the bears were together, and just lined them up in a massive semicircle really neatly. And then just sort of stood back and looked at them and then was like, oh, that one's ever so slightly skew-whiff. And moved it over.
That's
and,
really yeah, cute.
And that's how Lola operates. That's what she does. Whereas Ramona's like, Mummy, will you play with me? Mummy, will you play with me? I'm like, well, get the stuff out then. No, can you get it out? Can you get it out?
Yeah, and I think, honestly, I think trying to give advice on what to do in the summer holidays is kind of a fruitless exercise because it's so dependent on what your kid is actually like.
And also what you have available, because it's like some people will still be working full time.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the pieces of advice I was going to give is like try and really think about things you can do with your children that are varyingly different. So like, you know, if you're thinking about a 1 week, and you're looking after your kids for that whole week, it's like one of them's going to have to be a park day, one of them might be going to do the shopping, one of them might be like soft play if you can afford it, one of them might be something naturey, one of them might be crafty where you stay at home, one of them might be a film day. And it's easy for me to say that because that's how I'm going to have to deal with things, although I'm going to have to sort of work around it, but I work from home. Some people don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
So some people are going, well, this is great advice, but I'm at work the whole damn time.
Yeah, and it's like, it's really difficult to, like, especially if your kids are I'd say under 10, it's very, very difficult to, like, set up a craft activity and let them deal with it while you're working.
Oh, yeah.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Oh, absolutely. If I do a craft activity with my children, it's alongside something that I'm doing.
Mm.
So if it's like, oh, can we paint? I'll be like, okay, but I'm going to paint something that I need to paint for work at the same time. So that all the fucking paints are out. And there's no way, like, you just can't.
No way that I could let Darcy do painting while I was working.
No.
Because the entire downstairs would be redecorated.
Yeah, you can, no, you absolutely can. Same with, like, baking as well. You can't, like, oh, we're going to bake a cake and then just let them do it. Impossible.
And, like, If I had unlimited funds and I wasn't working full time, summer holidays would be easy because we would never be in the house.
Yeah, you'd just go out. I think for me, one of my biggest things about holidays is that I worry that they're not active enough and I want them to get out and be active. But that's obviously very hard to facilitate if the weather's terrible.
Yes.
I can't afford to take my kids soft play all the time.
No.
That's like...
I also can't be asked with them with dealing with the diseases that they would catch from soft play.
Yeah, or all of us would catch from soft play. Yeah, it's very, very hard. What about some of the advice we got on social media? Because we got a few, didn't we?
We did.
So one of my friends suggested a Twin Lakes season pass. Now, I really like this idea, and I don't think this is just, what's the word? Not just confined to Twin Lakes. A lot of theme parks, a season pass for a thing.
Even like a farm.
Yeah, you can get them for farm parks. I'm thinking places like Wigstead Park, which are a bit cheaper than Twin Lakes, so it's like still a bit of a theme park. Sort of adventure lands and stuff like that. I think the Space Centre might do one as well.
Mm-hmm. I've never taken Darcy to the Space Centre.
That's a good one. I mean, that's a good winter one though, isn't it? Because it's like indoors.
I mean, it might be a good one for this summer specifically.
Which is winter.
I'm sorry, but if you can hear that is the rain lashing down on the skylight.
Mid-July. UK. Yeah, I think a season pass is a really good shout. I think the thing for me, the reason I've never done it before is committing.
Lived, yeah, if you lived close enough to a zoo, it would be a great
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Things like that. Because Darcy is always, and has always been, a million times better if she's not in the house.
Mm.
If she is in the house, she will be telling me that she is bored.
Yeah.
And I will suggest something. Why don't you go and do some colouring in? Oh, I don't want to do that. It's boring.
Yeah.
And then I say, and I hate myself for saying it because my mum used to say it to me all the time, only boring people get bored.
Only boring people get bored. Of course. Of course. It's true. It's very true. I mean, boredom isn't bad for children, is it? They do say that. Boredom,
boredom is like fosters creativity, yeah. Or it's supposed to foster creativity. All it fosters in my child is whinging and moaning.
Lots and lots of whinging, yeah. But I do, I feel like that even if... So I'll find, if we don't have anything planned for a day, I'll have to do something that gets them outside, even if it's going to the shop.
Yeah.
To bar, even if it's like, I need to go to the post office to drop some stuff off. Let's all go to the post office together. Just because it breaks up the day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And that's enough for them. So yeah, I guess that would be my advice.
Also, I've got another tip that's just jumped into my mind. Never, ever divulge a plan until you are literally about to leave the house.
Oh, I can't do that.
Never tell them, oh, we're going to go here and we're going to do this, because if that plan deviates slightly,
yeah.
Darcy will lose her shit.
Yeah. Ramona doesn't like not knowing what's happening, so it freaks her out if she doesn't have a plan. But you can't be specific about the plan.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, if you tell her exactly, it's like when we had, do you remember when we had Cafe Gate?
Oh, Geno Gate.
Geno Gate. That was because we told her we were going to that cafe and it didn't work out and she completely lost her shit. If we'd have just said we're going to a cafe, oh, which one? Don't know yet. That would be totally different.
Mm.
So you can sort of, I think we can kind of give them a vague plan, but if you're specific and then it doesn't work out. Oh, no. No, 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 no. No, never.
Trying to spend time with, like, your friends that have also got kids is a good one as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Just letting the kids play with each other, because that's good for your mental health, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so. I need to try and make sure we plan lots of that over the summer.
I'm very sad that I think this is my first summer. It's only my second summer holidays, but this is the first summer that I've been, like, working full time, so I won't be able to really do
like daytime meetups.
Much in the way of like daytime meetups. It'll be only at weekends, and I've only got like 2-3 weekends.
We're very busy girls, aren't we?
Yeah, so
busy. Very, very busy girls.
But I suppose we'll be having like a week long play date.
We'll be having a week long play date in Old Island, won't we?
We will.
Which we're not going to talk about at all, are we?
No.
Won't mention it.
Not
ever.
In this episode, actually.
No, just in all the others. All the future episodes is all we'll talk about. Do you think, are you going to take a microphone with you? Do you think we'll be able to record over there?
Well, what I was going to
say... Ryanair let you?
What I was going to say is I might have a look on Amazon for those little, you know, the tiny mics.
Little lapel mics. Little lapel mics, we can walk around.
Yeah.
It really is going to be real life Bodkin.
So we can make,
like, recording a podcast.
We can make an actual, like, travel documentary.
Oh my God, I love this for us. I love this for us. Oh yeah. Okay, let's not mention it anymore because they'll get sick of us talking about it. We'll mention it next time. What else did people advise? Somebody said grandparents.
Grandparents, which only works if your grandparents, A, or like your parents, your kids' grandparents, should I say, A, don't work. B, are willing to have them.
Yeah, or not on holiday like my parents. Honestly, guys, will you stop going on holiday and having a nice time? Please, it's unacceptable. What else did we have?
Day drinking.
Day drinking. I mean, I do like this idea in theory, but for me, it's the evenings. Do you remember when we came round to Nat's house?
Yeah.
And we were kind of trying to figure out, I didn't want to drive, obviously I wanted to drink. And I was like, we'll just all get an Uber there. And then Dave was like, no, it's all right, I'll drive. And I was like, are you sure? It's like a proper night out. And he was just like, I just don't want to deal with the kids in the evening. I don't want to put them to bed while I'm pissed. And so he drove and just didn't drink. And he'd prefer that. He'd prefer that over day drinking because it's like the aftermath. It's the getting home. I don't,
dealing with that.
I don't, now, this probably says a lot about mine and Dave's relationship. I don't mind taking the kids to bed when I'm drunk. But now I think about it, that's probably because every time that's happened, Dave has been sober. And therefore, I think it's great. I'm like, oh, it's easy, it's fine. And I'm like bumbling around like an idiot. That's because I'm doing sweet fuck all.
I have put Darcy to bed drunk on many occasions. New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
I put Darcy to bed
drunk. Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
And actually, because I'm not asked about, if I'm drinking,
yeah,
I don't give a shit about her bedtime.
Yeah, exactly.
So she goes to bed when she is tired.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, you're more relaxed, you give less shits, so you're less up their arse about stuff. Yeah, okay, day drinking, that's great advice, guys.
And in response to our question, which was, do you have any top tips for looking after your children during the summer holidays? Our dear friend, Katie King, said, don't.
Yeah, that, I think, sums up what this episode is all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just don't.
I would advise having a friend or family member in a different country. Offer to take them for 2 weeks, and you say yes. But you know what? A lot of people, when I say, like, oh, Darcy's going to wine and she's going to stay with her godmother for 2 weeks, they'll be like, or you'll get people who are the good vibes people being like, oh, like, so jealous. Yeah, like,
oh my god, amazing.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And other people are like, well, won't she miss you?
Won't you miss her?
Won't you miss her?
No.
No, I will not. My mum sent me over to Ireland for 6 weeks every summer. I don't think she missed me for a single second.
No, I have to say, when I arrived at your house earlier, and it's just you and your mum here, I think both of you seem, not that you're uptight people, but you both seem far more relaxed than usual. There is an air in this house of just, like, zen. It's zen-like. You could turn this house for 2 weeks of the summer holidays every year
into a retreat
where you do, like, aromatherapy.
Apart from the fact that everything is everywhere because we're redecorated.
Yeah, apart from that, but even that is, like, I still feel more zen in this house than I do my house that isn't being redecorated. It's lovely. It's really nice. So, yeah, definitely can recommend. The advice is, like, don't look after your kids.
Find someone else to do it.
That's the answer, isn't it?
That's our advice.
Thanks, Katie. You're so right. You're so right. Oh, won't she miss you? No, of course she won't miss me.
Would you not Would you not be worried about her? I'm like, no. She is staying with a woman that I have known since we were both born.
I'd be more worried with her with me.
Yeah.
Than with someone else.
April is an infinitely, like, better mother than I am.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like aunties, godmothers, they're all better mothers than us because they don't have children. that's the whole point, right?
She is like Miss Honey, if Miss Honey had a potty mouth.
Love it. Love that.
She's a primary school teacher.
Oh, perfect.
She's like, she's done loads of courses about child development and play therapy and all of this.
Oh, wow.
Like, she's just moved into a beautiful house, which she let Darcy walk into her house and go and choose which bedroom she was going to sleep in.
Oh my god. This is a joy. Oh, you're so lucky. I'm so pleased for you.
Darcy is so happy.
Yeah, I bet she is. Of course she is. It's an adventure.
Yeah.
We've all seen the secret... Oh, I was going to say secret garden, but that's...
Yorkshire.
But she does have a nice time, doesn't she, in the end?
Eventually.
Yeah, it's fine in the end. It's just all the weird kid bit in it. Weird kid who can't walk. Anyway, what was I going to say? I was going to say something about... I don't know. Advice. Did we get any other answers? There were definitely some others, weren't there?
The answers have all disappeared. I didn't screenshot them fast enough.
No.
Which is really annoying.
No.
But I think... what makes or breaks the summer holidays is whether or not you have money.
Of course it does.
If you have money, you can afford for other people to look after your kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you don't want other people to look after your kids, you can afford to take them out. And take them to the zoo.
Yeah.
Go on holiday.
Yeah. That's it. And if you don't have that luxury, it's like you really have to think creatively about it. I think that's what stresses me out. I think that's why I get myself, like, you know, mentally unwell from it, because I have to be with them all the time, which is overwhelming for me, and it's overwhelming for them, and I just worry that I'm not doing enough for them, and so I'm trying to pull ideas out of my arse of places I can take. And there's only so many times you can go, let's go to the park, when the park up your road isn't that great. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like trying to think of things that you can do with them that's going to like be nourishing for their minds and their souls and their bodies all of the time for 6 weeks.
And also nourishing for your wallet.
And nourishing for your wallet. It doesn't exist, does it?
Even if you want to bake a cake with them, you're spunking at least a tenner on ingredients.
Well, that's it. That's it. And actually,
having
a horrible time, an absolute mess, and it doesn't take that long.
No.
That's the other thing about that.
And they get bored. They get bored.
Yeah, they don't want to do the whole thing.
No, you have to measure out all the ingredients. Uh-huh. All they want to do is put it in the bowl, give it one stir, and then come back to lick the spoon.
Yeah, and then spaz, you know, £4 worth of sprinkles on top of the cake, so they ruin it. That, basically. It's just that.
Baking with children is the worst. I maintain that.
We should redo this episode at the end of the summer holidays and see how much more negative we are.
Although, tell you what I did do with Darcy a couple of weeks ago. We made our own homemade chicken goujons, which sounds like a really, like, middle-class wanker activity to do. Darcy actually loved it.
Yeah, it sounds delicious. I was like, are there any left? That sounds great.
It was great, and they were delicious. And Darcy did, like, she dredged the chicken in the flour, put the chicken in the egg, put the chicken in the breadcrumbs.
Okay. Okay. Okay, Big Z. Is that his name?
Yeah.
As it came out of my mouth, I was like, if his name isn't Big Z, I've already called David Miliband John Miliband. So, I mean, we're on, you know.
But honestly, I don't, you know what? It's every man for himself.
It is. It definitely is.
Just make sure you're texting your mates, you're having some adult interaction.
Yeah.
You've got a well-stocked beer fridge.
Yeah.
And Godspeed.
I think as well is like, there's nothing wrong with turning the things you need to do into activities with your children.
Yeah.
And it doesn't also have to be child stuff.
There is nothing wrong with actually just ignoring them for a couple of hours.
Yeah, if you have to. Yeah. Because it is so overwhelming having them.
There is nothing wrong with banging the telly on,
putting
on your noise cancelling headphones,
and
you know, unlocking the door,
maybe
leaving it open and waiting for someone to come and take them.
Yeah, if you get Amazon deliveries like we do, then you know there's an ample opportunity for someone to take them. To be honest, or just pop them behind the bin. Oh, God. So, yeah, that whole episode, which was supposed to be about us giving advice about how to deal with the summer holidays, wasn't us giving advice at all. It was us just going, it's really, really hard. We don't have any advice for you. But I don't think that's a bad thing, because I think lots of people listening will be like, oh, my God, thank God it's not just me that feels that way. It is really hard. It is really overwhelming. It's really hard to find things to do with your kids if you don't have a massive family or, you know, loads of money. And all that stuff. So it is okay, but it is like I was saying about, like, there's only so many times you can take them to the park, but if that's all you have, then go to the park every single day.
Yeah,
go to the park every single day, walk to the shop every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think if that's what you've got financially, you know, you can't afford to take them on big outings or holidays and stuff like that, it's maybe creating a routine that involves doing a few different things but all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like the same as school. We go to the park in the morning, we'll walk to the shops in the afternoon, you get 1 hour of telly at 3 o'clock. Do you know what I mean? It's that bang, 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 every single day. Similar routine. They get used to it. You feel better.
And that. You know what? If you're having a really shit time, there is absolutely nothing wrong with letting the kids sit in front of the telly all day long.
No, you can do that.
You're allowed.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, the pressure that mums put on themselves to be, like, creating an idyllic childhood for their kids is unrealistic. Like, there will be a few days of a summer holiday where, you know, your kid is outside running in the fucking meadows and it's all grey and it's all lovely.
Yeah.
And they're the days that, like, we remember from us being kids.
Yeah.
But I think you forget that actually quite a lot of the summer holidays when you're a kid is very, very boring.
Also, like, we were allowed to go out and play by ourselves. Like, that's simply not an option anymore.
Yeah.
The streets aren't safe enough for kids to play out on their own anymore until they're like 12 or something, right? So that's not your fault as a parent. It's not your fault that you can't let your... Like, I was talking to my parents about this the other day. They were like, you were out playing on your own on your on our street from the age of 4. As soon as we moved to that house, from four onwards, I was out on that street every single day that the sun was shining. And my child, like, Ramona's now 6. She's never done that. And that's not because I don't want to. It's because she can't. You just can't let them out anymore.
Yeah, because when I was a kid, obviously we went to Ireland every summer. We never played out on the street until we moved to this house when I was 7. Because we used to live just off Narborough Road. And at the end of our street was an industrial estate.
Yeah.
Like, loads of cars going there. Like, it wasn't a playing out street, really. No. And then I would go to my granny's house and we'd get pitched out into the street after our breakfast.
Yeah.
Someone would feed us in the street.
Yeah.
For our lunch.
Yeah.
And then we'd get called in for our dinner at 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
We'd have, like, handstand competitions in the gardens. We'd be playing, like, we'd be climbing the trees. Mm-hmm. I remember if it was bad weather, my granny used to have, like, a porch. And I think this is quite an Irish thing, but Irish people don't really tend to use their front doors. Or a lot of Irish people don't use their front doors. So if you've noticed... We don't use our front door.
You guys are mental.
We use the back door. My granny's house, we use the back door. Martin's house, we use the back door. I've never walked in the front door
of an Irish person's house.
My Uncle Martin's house.
This is brilliant. Love this.
Like, there are obviously a few people.
I'm glad you reminded, told me this before we went there, because I'd go like straight to knocking doors. On the front door. What's going on? No one's letting me in.
But, like, yeah. So the porch where... In my granny's old house was where the front door was that no one ever used.
Yeah.
So I would take loads of pillows and blankets and make myself a little nest in the porch and I'd just read my book.
I had like a group of boy mates that lived on my street, and like you were saying about someone giving you food, it's like all of their parents were my parent and my parents were their parent. It's like we'd all go collectively to one of the houses for the food or the drink, or it's raining, can we come in this house? So it's like all the parents parented at the same time without doing very little. Like, they didn't have to do nothing. If it rained, we used to go to all of the houses of our group and get all the umbrellas from our under the stairs. And then we'd meet up at one house and we'd sit in front of the front door. And, you know, like, it's not a porch, but it's just like a roof.
Yeah.
And we'd sit under the roof and we'd make an umbrella barricade. And we'd sit in the umbrella outback. So we'd put all the umbrellas up and make a den out of the umbrellas and sit and wait until it stopped raining. And then we'd crack on with our BMXing or whatever it is we were doing. Climbing
like,
trees.
Yeah, we were just outside the whole time.
Yeah.
And we just can't do that with our kids. And I would love to be able to do that for Darcy.
Me too.
I would love to be able to just like turf her out into the street
9 a.m.
and have her find her own way. And like that's what again goes back to like fostering their independence, like helping them figure out like what they can do with their day, because they make it interesting.
You're so right, because you can't. I was out all the time when I was a kid, so I couldn't just shout mum,
because
mum wouldn't hear.
Mum wasn't there.
So if I wanted my mum, I would have to go to my house to get her, which seemed absolutely insane compared to just working shit out.
Mm.
And that just isn't a thing anymore. And like obviously there's, you know, housing issues, like we all have much less wealth in terms of like what we can afford housing wise, so we're living in smaller houses
with smaller gardens,
no opportunity for our kids to go out by themselves. And so that, no wonder they're always like, mum, help me with this, because that's what they know.
Yeah.
And that's not our fault.
No.
So in conclusion, our advice to you is don't worry about doing fuck all with your kids over the summer holidays. It's not your fault and you're just trying.
Yeah.
That seems pretty good advice, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I would be inclined to agree.
Do you do loves and loves? Yeah, go on then. What's your love of the week?
My love of the week is... I've forgotten what my love of the week is.
Shall I tell you what mine is?
You tell me what yours is.
Okay, because mine is something I've screenshot, which I'd like to divulge to you. So my love of the week is a tweet that I read.
Okay.
And I've screenshotted it because I really love this idea. I want to see it in action. It's a joke that you'll never see the punchline of. I'm just obsessed with it. So I don't know who this person is. I saw it on Instagram. I've screenshotted it and here it is. The single most important thing a man can do to be an ally is give his woman friends permission to give dudes at the bar his number so when they call, he can angrily say, that's not funny because she died 15 years ago that very night. I want to see, I don't know, we're getting on a bit now, right? But I mean, you're not, but I am. I don't have, like, loads of super young single friends, right? But what I want to do is...
No, you've just got old single friends. Me.
I just mean, you know, the sorts of people old, that are giving out...
on the shelf, spinster friends.
Yeah. Not mentioning anyone in particular. I just want... You're too... I think the thing is, like, you're too smart to be giving out your number... guy, what am I trying to say? Anyway,
I have never willingly interacted with a man in a bar.
So you're fine, exactly, that's what I'm trying to say. I just want to see some guy get this fake number.
I think if someone asked me for my number while I was out, I would be like, am I getting pranked?
Where are the cameras? But I just love this idea that somewhere this has happened.
Is Ashton Kutcher going to jump out from behind a post box? You're getting punked.
Doesn't really want your number. But can you imagine if some guy got this fake number and then rang it and then the guy was just like, she's dead.
She's been dead for 15 years. Like, what are you talking about?
That's the punchline I want to see. I just think it's genius.
I would love to see that happen,
I hope it's happened in real life. So yeah, that's my love of the week. What have you got a love of the week?
Yeah, I do. Go on. My love of the week is... the lady who came up to me at school the other day. And I've never seen her before. I don't know if... I'm assuming her kid must go... one of her kids must go to the school that Darcy goes to. But she stopped me and she said, I just always think, like... She said, oh, I love your dress. And I was like, oh, thank you, it's from Sainsbury's. As all of my dresses are from Sainsbury's.
Of course.
And then she went, oh, I often see you and I always think, like, you've got such great style... In the winter, you wear that big long blue coat.
It's great. She's a style icon. Like,
oh, like, it's so nice.
That's what we need, isn't it?
Have an impromptu compliment from a stranger.
I always try and make an effort to do that to other strangers because I know how good I feel when people do it to me.
Mm.
So if in that opportunity, I'll never forget when I did it to a lady at a crossing once, and she was an older lady, but she was like so fucking cool and wearing an amazing outfit. And I was with Ramona and she was a tiny baby in a pushchair. And so I looked like a mess. And I was just like, your trousers are incredible. I love them. And they were very like, they weren't exotic. They were just like baggy trousers, but they just had a nice look about them. And she's like, oh, thanks so much. And I was like, where are they from? And she named this place and I've never heard of it. She's like, got them online. And she didn't look particularly like, like flattered. She was like, oh, thanks. And I was just like, I would be more flattered if that was me. Mm-hmm. But okay. And then I got home and I remembered the name that she said and I typed it into Google and the trousers that she was wearing cost £250. And I was like, oh, she was just very rich. I was in Stonygate. So
£200.
Yeah, so no wonder she wasn't flattered because she was like, oh, these old things.
These old rags.
These old rags, yeah, it cost me £250. What are you on about? Yeah, that annoyed me a bit. But yeah, good for you. You do deserve a style icon pat on the back as you're walking to school. Because you are. You are very stylish. In your Nike t-shirt.
In my Nike t-shirt that I think actually has holes in it.
Yeah, that's okay. No one's watching us. It's okay.
It's fine. It's an audio format.
Right, loads of
But I would like it said that sometimes I look nice.
Yeah. And you can look like shit right now. But you have got good style. Like, having good style isn't, like, always being stylish, is it?
That's true.
You just have good style. You're just choosing to wear a Nike t-shirt.
I am.
Like, I'm choosing to be dressed like a middle-aged tennis player.
And you know what? This t-shirt, feel it. This is...
Oh, it's got that dry... Is it the dry fit kind of material?
No, it's just, like, really, really nice and smooth. Thin. There's something about, like, the sensory feel of this t-shirt that is...
That's my favourite. That's why when I worked at North Face, I was obsessed with their kind of gym range. Because it was all just really nice material.
Yeah.
And so I ended up being one of those dickheads that wore gym clothes when I wasn't at the gym. Yeah. But like all the, you know, like the whole lot, like the leggings and the tank tops and stuff.
Yeah, the full set.
Which, and you know, one of the like, you know, body braces with the bottles on.
No, all the time.
I didn't wear that. I'm joking. That's a joke. What's your loathe of the week?
My loathe of the week is redecorating.
Redecorating.
We're doing Darcy's bedroom while she's away. And whilst, yes, it will be great when it's done. Mm-hmm. And also, it needs to be said, I'm actually not lifting a finger in this whole renovation process.
It's just...
I'm literally just pressing confirm when buying things to put in the new room.
You're just being inconvenienced by someone else decorating near you.
I'm project managing is what I'm doing.
Yes. Isn't this what my friend Brianne said when we were doing the salon? She said exactly the same thing. She was like, I hate decorating. It's the worst thing ever. What have you been decorating? Well, to be fair, it's not me that's been decorating. It's Oscar. But I really hate it.
But it's happening around me.
It's happening around me and to me, even though I've chosen for it to happen. I'm not okay with it. Yeah, decorating is just a general ball ache, isn't it? I mean, again, it's one of those things. If you can afford for someone to just come and do it for you, great. But it's because it's not just... The thing that annoys me about decorating is I love painting. I love painting a room. I love doing the skirting boards and the edges and stuff. But it's all the other extra shit. It's the masking tape. It's the moving stuff around.
The washing. Why the fuck do you need to wash a wall before you put paint on it?
I don't wash a wall before putting paint on it. I don't wash a wall.
Don't say that around my dad because he would actually have a conniption.
Would he? Is he one of them? Yeah.
Well, you know my dad. He's like the world's biggest perfectionist like incredibly fucking annoying.
Yeah. So he's washing walls before painting.
So he was like washing walls at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning.
I
He had that room emptied, the walls washed, the skirting boards sanded, and the base coat put on before 9 a.m.
Oh, well, I mean,
on Saturday.
Fair play to the lad. That's pretty good going.
He's done all the woodwork and put the first coat on the walls.
I can imagine that being annoying to be around, though. But that is
I wasn't there. I was in Ireland.
Thank God you weren't there. That's the other bit. I don't like the sanding of the woodwork, but you have to do it, because if you don't, then it just gets chipped real easy. I appreciate that. So, Mick, I do sand the woodwork, or I get Dave to sand the woodwork. And then I do all the nice painting bits. But decorating is a ball ache. That's fine. You can decorate. That's okay. What's my loathe of the week? My loathe of the week is the paperwork at the end of term. They bring all their fucking books home, don't they?
All their books.
All their books. It's like a library in their book bag on the table.
Donk.
And then Ramona made me sit and go through it all with her.
Yeah.
Do you want to look at my books?
I said to Darcy, oh, I'll have a look now. She insisted on sitting right next to me. And reading to me what I could read on the page.
Yeah.
I was like, I can read, you know. Yeah. But one of the pages was my absolute favourite. And she'd written some fun facts about explorers. And it said, Scott of the Antarctic was an explorer. He got frostbite and died.
I mean!
Cool. Succinct.
It's like a very simple biography. It's all true. He was in the Antarctic, he got frostbite and then died. It's fair, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Absolutely fair. It's to the point. Yeah, I just... The other thing as well with those books is they were from the start of the year, so when you start those books and they're really eager for you to look at them and they're writing is shit.
You can't read it.
It's the start of year one. And you're like, what does that say? And she's like, doggy. And you're like... Yeah, I knew that. I totally knew that.
That says doggy.
Obviously that says doggy. It's just that, you know, you were nearly a year younger at the time and your writing is awful. And now I don't know what to do with it as well because I can't get rid of it yet. I can't get rid of it yet. So I've bunged it under a bed for now.
That's what's going to happen to Darcy's when she has a bed again.
When she has a bed again, once the walls have been washed.
Oh, he's also decided he's going to repaint the wardrobe to go with the new room.
Oh, okay. Sure. Oh, well, at least he's doing it, not making you do it. That's fine.
I've never done a piece of DIY in my life.
I've done a bit. I do like, I like decorating. I just don't like, I don't really like using drills. They scare me a bit. I think they do a lot of drilling.
Well, I think because of my dad is a tradesman, I've never
He wouldn't want you to anyway, would he?
Like, I've never changed a light bulb.
No.
Never. Oh, no. Tell a lie. I have. It was at uni and our kitchen light broke. Our kitchen light, like the bulb stopped working. And my two housemates worked at Poundland, so one of them brought light bulbs home. And we didn't realise until I'd climbed up onto the kitchen counter, because our house was like an old Victorian house, so the ceilings were quite high, but it was also like renovated in the most fucking whack way I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, it was being rented out to students.
Where the second, so we lived on the second floor, we didn't speak to our housemates that lived downstairs, and they had the actual kitchen. Our kitchen was just like, just built out of nothing in the front of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So our kitchen window was above our front door.
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah,
we were like the floor above the front door. I didn't realise until I'd climbed up onto the counter, changed the light bulb, fallen off the counter and turned the light on, that actually the light bulb they brought home was red. So for quite a while people thought we lived in a whorehouse.
That's amazing. Oh, you just kept the red one in because you needed some light.
The thing was, you can't, red light doesn't actually illuminate anything.
No, of course it doesn't. That's the point. That's the actual point of it. Oh, wow. That's
great. And I think
great.
We must have had a red light for about, I'm going to say at least a month.
Yeah, of course he was doing this. You weren't jumping up to get yourself a normal light bulb. You're going to live with the red bulb for a while. Wow, I love that. I love that. It was a red bulb.
And that's the one time I've ever done DIY.
And you're like, never again.
Actually, no, I built that little thing, like, trolley with the drawers in it.
Does that class as DIY?
Building flat pack.
Well, yeah, flat pack furniture, I suppose. I suppose so. Fine. Okay, I'll give you that. Right, shall we go?
Yeah.
That's been fun.
Have a great summer holidays.
Yeah, see you next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.